So, with that, if you have a heavy recovery, I would suggest, all right, look, a 32-299 gets you a set. Nobody wants to buy anything twice, but it's a piece of rope and it helps you get out of a jam. If you're in a position where you think you have taken it up to the max working strength and it has not failed, then I would just suggest buying another set.
This interview episode is brought to you by the Jeep Talk Show. You know, you can advertise on our interview episodes, and it's a cheap, effective way to reach another nearly 100% Jeep owner audience. Some of them own more than one. Go to jeeptalkshow.com/contact and contact us today. Hi, I'm Tony, and welcome to the Jeep Talk Show, the talk show where we talk about all things Jeep, from trail riding to overlanding and everything in between. So sit back, grab a cold one, and get ready for another great guest right here on the Jeep Talk Show.
Are you ready?
It's time for the Jeep Talk Show with hosts Tony, Josh, Wendy, and Chuck.
So the Jeep Talk Show is going to be at EJS 2024, and that includes me. If you're going to let us, if you're going, let us know. If you're thinking about going, come out and be part of the Jeep Talk Show group. We want to meet and wheel with you. Join our Discord server and keep up with the JTS group and team at EJS.
From around the world. Or from your city. And sometimes just down the street.
Howdy, neighbor.
It's the Jeep Talk Show interview.
Hi, boys and girls. It's time for another Jeep Talk Show interview. And tonight we're going to be talking with Robert. Robert is the owner of Fort Hill Distributors, LLC, a Michigan-based startup off-road accessory company currently focused on their line of soft shackles. Fort Hill Distributors, LLC is committed to offering the best off-road accessories available while partnering with local charity organizations to do most good where they can. Robert is a U.S. Army and Air Force veteran, a father, a husband, and privileged to continue his service to Fort Hill's customer and larger community. Robert, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, how's it going, Tony?
It's going really, really well. I'm just going to start with the elephant in the room, at least to me. I'm non-military, so to me, this is weird. Army and Air Force. I mean, do you fight with yourself when you get drunk?
I do. A lot of times I chide myself for just being soft.
You're in the AC. You're either in the AC of the office or up there in an airplane where it's nice and cool, away from the action.
Yeah, I mean, my legs get really sore sitting a lot in my Air Force role. It is, I've been blessed. I've taken a very winding path. I've been a reserve officer my entire career. I've had the pleasure of spending just over 15 years in the Army Reserve and now the Michigan Air Guard. So it's been the best challenge and a period of personal growth for me personally, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
That's interesting.
Not every minute of it.
I was just going to say that's interesting because I can see that there must be a lot of boredom associated with being in the military.
Yes, I mean, so when you're on the clock for 24 hours of the day, when you're on duty as a reservist, it's a little bit different. But technically, active duty guys, that service has you 24 hours per day. So not so much the Air Force, but the Army, you work a lot. So as a reservist, when you're on working 12, 15-hour days when we're in the field. So there's been a lot of challenges. Yeah, there's a lot of downtime. But it's also, I've benefited more then I'd say the military's benefited from me.
Mm-hmm. So, not being bored is a good thing. I mean, when you're with the military.
Absolutely.
Because it can get exciting really quick and for a short period of time.
Yeah, so that's, I've been an officer for 12 years. So, when you first start, you're a lieutenant, you don't know anything. And that's great because you've got a lot of NCOs there to help mentor you to set you on the right track. But bottom line, you're responsible for all of your soldiers, airmen, Marines, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you like bored. You don't like You like to go to a weapons qualification and it be boring because you don't want injuries or anything like that. So you take risk where you need to, but ultimately everybody comes home safe.
I would think mortar training and grenades would also be good for it to be boring.
Luckily, my roles, especially in the reserves, money's tight. We get some larger stuff, but we never got grenades or anything cool.
Oh no!
Cool like that. I know. It's like do chalk rounds and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Just a couple. You get the effect of firing the 203, stuff like that.
Well, that's disappointing, but that's fine. I mean, I mentioned I've never been in the military. There was a post the other day, I think it was on Facebook, and a buddy of mine that I used to play online games with, and this is the reason why I answered this way. Somebody, one of his friends, military friends, was bitching about how civilian, you know, you're a civilian. I bet you've never cooked off a grenade. And he wasn't talking to me, but I had to comment, of course. So my comment was, I have done scores, if not hundreds, of grenades, all simulated the online game. Yeah. And my buddy got it. It was my buddy and I would always remind each other, check behind the boxes. It was Counter-Strike, yeah. If you know the game, Counter-Strike.
Oh no. So I mean I get it. And experiences vary. I mean I have in the reserves, my roles have been in a combat service support role. Mm-hmm. The only difference is, you know, the Reserves doesn't have a lot of combat arms. For those that know, there is a difference between Army or Reserves and National Guard. Mm-hmm. National Guard does have some combat arms. My point is, my career has taken me into more of a support role. So I haven't thrown a grenade since basic training quite a while ago.
But I bet you it was fun.
Oh, it's a good
something
time.
You always remember.
No, at basic training, you go into this pit, you don't know what anything is. It's all new information to you.
That's the way they want it, because they want to teach you from the very ground up.
Sure. And they, I'm a big guy, 6'4", 250. And then the grenade pit, they have infantry NCOs, and they are very, very big men. And then you see how the way that the grenade pit is shaped, it's strategically designed that if somebody freezes up, those very large men can make sure that grenade gets out of the pit. So they can make sure that you drop it.
What a job. I mean, I keep thinking about the Bugs Bunny cartoon where he was hitting on these big shells and he says, and you know, right dud when it didn't explode. And he goes, in 30 years, I can retire. So I could see these guys, you know, waiting for the grenade to hit their feet and they got to get it and get it out of there before they die or get severely injured.
I know. So those are some, there's, you know, I've been in a long time and I stay in because you meet a lot of interesting people. I mean, there's a lot of variants. We'll talk about some of my friends later, but just the spectrum of people that serve in the military of this country is why I keep going back. They're absolutely fantastic. And I know people say it often, but really no day is the same. No group of people captures just the greatest parts of our country.
Sounds like it keeps it interesting for you.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
All right, so I want to dovetail back to the service, but let's talk about what you're doing here online, your online business. Now, you, as stated in the intro, you guys are selling soft shackles. And when I say you guys, it's probably just you, right? You're Fort Hill? Yeah.
That's right, yeah. You're looking at a one-man band.
Yeah, well, that's a great way to get started. I mean, I've interviewed several people. Tony Pellegrino with Generite. Started by himself, Steve with PowerTech in his garage. So just because you start off one person, I guess Apple was two people, but still, there was the sales guy and the brains, Wozniak. Sure. So it doesn't mean that you can't do well.
I keep looking around my basement for the brains, you know, but I,
Well, you just fake it. I mean, with social media these days, it makes it a lot simpler. Now, you guys are selling, I say it again, you're selling online through Amazon, which is, I think, a great idea. And as far as I can tell, you do not have a quote-unquote company website. You're using Facebook to promote your product.
Yeah, so that is where, my background, it has been a real pleasure. I've been in operational roles, more of a planning and execute, in my civilian job, I've worked on some kind of planning cells for manufacturing in environments and things like that. So the hardest part was selecting the right product, but then everything after that was pretty intuitive for me. Now we get it to market. We've been live for about a month. And then it's the marketing aspect that's a little bit newer
to it.
But it's cool. It's a new skill. Everybody, I'm so glad that I'm able to offer this product to one, such a patriotic group of people. Everybody's been very well. They've received the product well, and they've tried to help me out. So no complaints. It's just you got to learn a new skill and adapt. So
yeah, the marketing aspect of it, I bet you it's going to be 75% of the job. Even if you are hand making these shackles, which I don't think you are, it would still, you would think that would be enough to have a good product and get it out there, and they will come. They will come and they will give you coins. But that's not the way it works, because there's so many people out there selling things, and it's just like having a show. I mean, we've been doing this show for 13 years now. We're in our 14th year, and we're still struggling to get listeners. I mean, we're doing well, but not nearly as well as what I figure we should be in this length of time. So a lot of our efforts are going to marketing the show. So you correct me. This is what I got off of Amazon. So you correct me on any of this stuff. I think you wrote this, so it probably is right. Fort Hill Distributors, LLC, U.S. Vet Heavy Duty Soft Shackle Recovery Kit, 2-pack, reinforced 38,000-pound rope, strength SUV, ATV, truck, off-road, and vehicle towing with storage bag, 1/2 inch by 22-inch shackles, $32.99.
Yes, sir.
So 38,000 pounds sounds like more than the average soft shackle.
So we're right in the mix with our competitors for the 1/2 inch diameter rope. Mm-hmm. And that is a max breaking strength based on a sample test of items coming off of the line. They take 10, they do a linear break test, and then that is the maximum breaking strength from that sample. Our working load is in that 19,000 pound range. Mm-hmm. That is what our safe working limit is, and it's a low stretch material, so it's a perfect way to take a rated eye on a bumper, whatever, to the frame, and then you can connect that to like a kinetic rope. So you have a high stretch material with a low stretch material. And really, as long as you don't have a massive truck and you're not sunk up to your headlights, this right. is a good application. So yeah. It's one of those things where you always have to use common sense, be safe. But we feel like our products are going to get you out of most jams, sort of having to call a heavy recovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't understand. I mean, you see numbers like 38,000 pounds, and which is the breaking strength. The 19,000 pounds is the working, always used day-to-day strength. I think people don't understand that you can get up to very high numbers over a short period of time, like you talked about, a full-size pickup stuck in the mud, and then you yank on it hard enough, you may exceed that 38,000 pounds for an instant, and that'll be just long enough for it to break. But it's a soft shackle, so you don't really have to worry about a chain or a metal D-ring coming at your head. when it breaks, sure. Which is good. I don't know anything about soft shackles. I don't have any. I still use D-rings, the metal D-rings. Is there a way of telling if you have over it? Like, say it didn't break, the soft shackle didn't break, but is there a way of telling that you have exceeded I would assume that if you get up to close to that 38,000 pounds of use, that it may cause the shackle not to be used in the future, or is that the case?
So before each use, you should just take your shackle, inspect it. Here we've got I'll use a Fort Hill Distributor LLC shackle.
Wise, because you don't want to use a competitor on the show.
No, goodness no. Here's the shackle without it looped. You know, there's a nice little protective cover here, because the main way to lose strength is some sort of cut, a sharp point on any sort of location.
Right.
So just take it off. You can put it back on, and you're just looking for signs of wear and tear. You know, if you want to make sure that there's not any major cuts or anything that would show an obvious compromise
right.
to it. And as long as all the fibers are looking good, you know, there's no major cuts or abrasions, you should be good to go.
So now, if it physically looks fine after you've overstressed it, because it's hard to tell, but if you're fearful that you have gone past that 19,000 pounds and maybe approached the 38,000 pound breaking, you just looking at it for abrasions and anything that looked unusual should be good enough, and you can just keep using it.
So, you know, with that, if you have a heavy recovery, I would suggest, all right, look, a 32.99 gets you a set. Now, nobody wants to buy anything twice, but it's a piece of rope, and it helps you get out of a jam. If you're in a position where you think you have taken it up to the max working strength and it has not failed, and I would just suggest buying another set.
That's a great idea. I was going to suggest that. I was going to, you know, and why not buy two sets while you're at it?
Hey, I mean,
does it have a time frame on it? I mean, would you recommend replacing these every so often, every couple of years? I mean, obviously, you got to keep it out of the sun, right? Because they
absolutely
UV can break these things down.
Very, very much so. So, you know, as long as they should give you many years of service, as long as you inspect before use. They do, because of the properties of the material, they do, I guess, shed water. But anytime that you use them, you know, clean them off and then put them back in a storage bag. If this is in your recovery kit, just put them in the storage bag, so there's not additional material that could get inside of the braids and cause some sort of situation where, you know, a rock gets on the inside of it, starts
oh, yeah.
cutting those strands strands under stress. You just want to use common sense. It is a shackle, not a chain. And if there's any sort of question, I would suggest going with a new pair. Mm-hmm. If it's our set, let me know. Send me pictures. I mean, we'll stand by our product, and I want you to be safe. So, you know, we'll give you a discount on a new set. Just use them. Stay safe.
So this is I often come up with Jeep Talk Show $1 million ideas. I have yet to hear from anybody that made $1 million on it. So I'll just put that little caveat on there. Have you thought about some lotion that you could come up with that you could take proper care of your
really
maybe some UV protection sure. lotion. It puts the lotion on the shackle.
You know, if why not? I mean, I can look into it. Surely there's
that would be hilarious.
Corner of the internet. There's a shackle conditioner.
I'll come up with your own, you know, and make sure, as from a military standpoint, make sure you add beer to it. So it contains 10% real alcohol.
Real beer.
Do not drink. Do not lick. I like making fun of the synthetic guys with their synthetic ropes on winches and stuff, because I personally think it's a gimmick. Because it's something that is new, and that it encourages all the guys that are going and stopping with their Jeeps, you know, at some parking lot to go, oh, what's that? That's not cable. I mean, you know, synthetic's old now, but that's not a cable. What'd you do with that? Oh, it's synthetic. It's so good. It won't cut you in half when it breaks and stuff. Although nobody knows anybody that got cut in half or even injured from a steel cable.
You know, that's a good point. We used to, you know, growing up, whenever there was a winch running, we'd have like 200 yards stand back whenever my uncle was running it. You know, he was absolutely terrified. I mean, seems like a good idea to not get hit by a broken winch cable. But
yeah, well, the thing I always give them a hard time is the synthetic lines are great and wonderful. They're lighter. You know, that's wonderful. It just falls when it breaks. And you can braid them back together, so that's nice. That you can't do that with the steel cable. However, the synthetic line is its only weaknesses are the sun, pointy sticks, and rocks. I really get people wound up. But the soft shackles, you're in the same environment, but at least the soft shackle. Theoretically is placed inside, not in the sun, like in the bag. It keeps the UV from breaking it down. They're small. I mean, they're relatively short, so it's unlikely that a rock or a pointy stick is going to damage it. So it's nice from that standpoint. They're light. They're easy to use. Now, how do you hook a soft shackle up to your bumper? I mean, the D-ring, I know, you know, you take the pin out, hook the winch line to it or whatever. How do you? Oh, and let me mention really quick, because you were showing the soft shackle, and this is a great opportunity. We're primarily an audio show, but we also are doing YouTube, so you should look up for this episode that'll be coming up on YouTube, so you can actually see what Robert is showing us.
Sure. So when our shackles here, I'll switch to another one, because they come in a set.
In pairs,
so yeah. On both sides. All right, so your shackle comes here with it all already hooked. So that's the configuration that you purchase in. Really, the only thing you do, just slide the protective sleeve back, as well as this, you know, I always suggest leaving the nice tag on. It reminds you what not to do with it.
Instructions.
And then instructions, you know, just in case. But it's really simple. There's a kind of hard to see, but you can see a figure eight there where the loop of the shackle.
Oh, so it can kind of cinch down on the knot. Yeah, I got you.
Yep. So then you just loosen that, and then you push the old knot through there. Okay. So then you just loop through your braided eye here, or through your rope, and then you just hook it back up.
Right, but how do you hook it to the bumper? That's the thing I'm trying to understand, because most bumpers have some of them, the factory ones, are hooks, so that's easy. But for the aftermarket bumpers that have holes in them for the D-rings, do you still have to have a D-ring on there, and then you run this through the D-ring?
I mean, you could go, I would caveat with, depending on what size that hole is, where you would traditionally put a D-ring,
mm-hmm.
if you could fit it through there, great. If not, you can just use this through the D-ring.
Right. So D-rings are still fine to use as long as they're rated properly, because we often talk about fuses on Jeeps whatever's going to break is going to be the weakest point. So if you've got a D-ring rated at 8,000 pounds and you have a soft shackle rated at 38,000 or even 19,000 pounds, well, the D-ring's probably going to give up first.
That is fair. It's a system, really, right? And we're selling one of our one point in a system to recover. Mm-hmm. So you always want to be knowledgeable on what the lowest breaking strength is for your system.
Right.
You know, like I'm staring at a kinetic rope there that probably, I think it has like a 25,000 pound breaking strength. plus, you know, so our lowest point here is 19,000 pounds.
Right.
If we hooked them together.
Right.
So it's always default to caution.
Yep. So you've just got this thing started, and I'll just mention again, Fort Hill Distributors LLC. You can find them on Amazon. You will be able to see the information in our show notes whenever this episode is published. And I'm sorry, I don't have an episode number for you right now, but stay tuned and you'll be hearing about it. So you've got this product. Do you have, this is your only product that you're selling, correct?
Correct. So we've got some cool plans.
That was my next question. If you could share anything that's coming up.
Oil plans. Well, I would like to, depending on how the popularity goes with our shackle.
Of course.
I've got some feedback. I know, especially in the, if I can say the B word, the Bronco community, you know, I've got some friends.
I've heard of them. I mean, they're fine. They're not a Jeep, so I really don't care.
They are not a Jeep, but I am. If there are unique colors, we could offer a couple different variations. If somebody, some people like everything to match.
Sparkles? Could you get it with glitter? I'm thinking of the Bronco crowd, of course, and Toyotas.
That's right. I'm thinking of a way to bedazzle.
There we go, bedazzle. You have been thinking about this.
That's right. And if we can actually increase strength through bedazzling, that would be ideal. But probably something a little bit brighter colored.
I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with appealing to the women out there. You know, we're trying to get more women involved with Jeeps. So
exactly,
yeah.
Things can be color coordinated, and really, you know, I know you said you're interested in how I kind of whittled down my selection to a soft shackle.
Yeah, absolutely.
For Amazon, but there's a couple opportunities that are still within the rope realm. You know, it's like shackle plus a ring or a snatch block.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense because those are all kind of the same thing that you would use with the soft shackle. Perfect.
Sure. I'm looking at dock lines. Those seem cool. I think there's an opportunity there. Pretty seasonal though, so I'm figuring it out. But I want to get my toe. He'll hold in with one before launching a bunch of other products.
Oh, of course, because you could oversaturate, and you don't want to confuse the customer. This is nice, and get some good word of mouth, and then put some more stuff out there. Absolutely, no, I think that's absolutely the way to go. Also, too, you don't want to shoot your whole wad at once. So,
correct. You know, and it's just like I said, I've really been working on this for about a year. It took me, let's say, 9 months to actually bring it to market. So I'm a patient man, and I just, like you said in the intro, I've got a full-time job, part-time job, mm-hmm. wife and kids, and this has been kind of a labor of love to do, because I really do like the process.
All right, Robert, we spoke a little bit before we started recording, and I warned you I wanted to ask you some stuff about Amazon, which you've already given up some of the information. Now, I've seen, and I think everybody's interested in having their own business, so that's one of the reasons why I'm asking this personally, and also too for other people that might be interested in it. The thing that I saw, it was YouTube videos that I was watching. You know, you can learn everything on YouTube, and you get certified. Well, not officially, but you can still get YouTube certified. One of the things I saw was, I think Amazon has I don't know what it's called, business package or whatever. You can be a seller on Amazon. And I believe it was, maybe it still isn't still, but $39 a month. And is that something that is this what you're doing? Is that business package that Amazon sells?
Yep. So I'm, all of these products are fulfillment by Amazon. So my products are branded at the manufacturer. You know, I ship them all of my labeling. We make sure that the packaging is correct. Then we ship that directly to Amazon. Mm-hmm. They house it in. For my first batch, you know, I shipped it to three warehouses, and then I think now I'm sitting in 13 different warehouses for Amazon. Mm-hmm. They distribute it where they think it's going to be sold, I guess, or right. Wherever they have space. So yeah, you pay a monthly fee to be a seller, and then you also pay a fee when you at point of sale for your product. So they charge you shipping and handling plus the FBA fee, and then ship it directly through all of the Amazon shipping processes and directly to customers.
You never touch this stuff. How do you get like the ones you have there in your hand? You didn't get them from Amazon, I'm sure. You got those like directly from the manufacturer?
Yep. So, I mean, our my partner that I manufacture with, I had a bunch of sets going to Amazon. And then after I figured out the lead time for those orders, mm-hmm. I had them ship me some so I can have them, you know. My wife doesn't know how many boxes, but there's going to be boxes in the basement here. And then I can use that for, you know, demonstration purposes. So I can talk to people here locally. Mm-hmm. I'm essentially treating Amazon as my low cost entry into the world.
Right.
And then I can, hopefully move, you know, I want to be local. I want to have not just an Amazon footprint. So that is a goal, but, you know, it's a pretty interesting process and not that hard to get on there. So,
well, Amazon's almost like YouTube, where YouTube gives a place where you could put up your videos and do things that you don't have to invest a lot of infrastructure. So Amazon's kind of doing that. They're well known. They already have people that work there. And they have warehouses. So you ship your product to Amazon. They determine where it needs to go. Technically, you don't even have to touch anything. You can just send this stuff if you wanted to. If you just wanted to be an Amazon seller, you could just send your stuff to them. And with that business account, you can send them more than one thing, right? You can sell a bunch of stuff, and it's not going to cost anything more other than you buying the product and having it shipped.
Right. So really... with fulfillment by Amazon, I know there's a couple different ways, you know, people, you know, just like you said about YouTube, there's a lot of people talking about this. I know there's a lot of different methodologies floating around, but I own the inventory. Amazon manages it and mm-hmm. ships it for me.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool.
I was fascinated by it. I thought it was really neat because that's kind of the pain in the ass about being a seller, especially if you build it yourself. You have to stock it. You have to build it. You have to stock it, and you have to ship it. And shipping is not fun. Boxing and all the rest of the stuff that Amazon does. So it's really neat. It's a good way to get in the market, even if it's just to see if the product would sell. And I think that's what you're doing. Is seeing how well it will be received and doing it the easy way. You have to pay for it, but you're doing it the easy way.
Sure. I mean, it's one of those things. The hardest part is figuring out what product you actually want to sell. Mm-hmm. And then you have to make sure that you're branding correctly. And then, so currently on my listing, it shows my brand as generic. Well, I learned later, you need to make sure that you get your trademark in sooner than later mm-hmm. so that it affects your ASN with Amazon. You have to get your own barcodes and stuff, and it's all tied back. So it was really good to bring it to Amazon, but I also learned some boneheaded mistakes that I would have changed my process a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the reasons why everybody is not doing it is because there is a learning process. It's not just a point and shoot type thing. You have to go through this stuff, and it's not bad. Don't beat yourself up on it. I mean, if you make a boneheaded mistake and you keep making the boneheaded mistake, then you can shoot yourself.
Yes.
If you don't, if you don't learn from your mistakes. So this is the other thing, and again, I mentioned this before. Pass on anything that you don't want to share. How did you come up with the product that you wanted to sell? Because obviously you're not the only soft shackle that's out there being sold.
Sure. So like we have mentioned, I've always wanted to run my own business. Mm-hmm. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit, and I've tried a couple different things. and it's never really worked out. I started learning a little bit more about Amazon. I started doing product research, and I knew that I wanted to be in the outdoor industry, the off-road industry, because I feel like I want to identify with my customer base. Mm-hmm. You know, it's people that I want to go out to an event and have a good time, and I could be genuinely me.
Right.
So with that, I looked at a couple different things in vehicle accessories, and slowly but surely, I probably took a month, and it's just a lot of searching on Amazon. Ran across recovery, and then you keep pulling a thread, and then eventually the soft shackle had the appropriate criteria of number of sellers, the number of reviews, and the number of volume mm-hmm. each month.
Right.
So kind of there's a couple different programs out there that gives you that data, and then you just try to find basically there's no product by Amazon. It's making plenty of money, and there's not that many reviews, but there's an opportunity to become one of the top selling people on a particular search term. Mm-hmm. So it's all search term based, and really there's some good products out there, and they make it really easy, and then it's just a matter of being comfortable with the product.
Right. So obviously you're not making these. I say obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not personally making these. How do you go about, how did you find somebody to make this? Is this, because I would think that would be the nightmare scenario. Not only figure out what you're going to sell, but who can you get them from?
I know. And that's what, so I looked locally, I couldn't find the right partner for what this trial of getting a product out there, figuring out the process. I couldn't find a locally sourced manufacturer. So one thing that I did, I went to the Alibaba and then worked with the manufacturer there. And of course, they are very geared toward Amazon and a variety of products, whatever. And then you just start talking to these people, and I knew what I wanted, and then you just start soliciting, prices and stuff like that, a little bit of negotiation. And then from there, they know the process well enough to help you through that.
Right. That's going to be very handy. Do they charge you for more than just the product, or do they charge you for the service of helping you get to where you need to be before you can get the product?
No, they basically charge you for the product. I mean, there are things that you find out within the overall process of
it's built in. The money's the charge is built in.
That and kind of one of those things where, okay, so you want to ship it out of this port, but the manufacturer says, well, that's great, but you're going to incur an additional shipping fee. I don't know, just things that you, it's mostly little shipping things, little inspection things that you don't know that you need until you kind of realize, you continue doing research. This whole time, like I'm always... Every step that I've taken, I've been concurrently researching it to make sure it goes in the right direction.
Right.
So to minimize mistakes. Not a perfect process, like I said, but really, it's still geared to for everybody to do okay and be successful within the process. Mm-hmm. So if they will tell you if you've got a bunch of products sitting here and they need it gone, and then you figure out what you're supposed to do.
Gotcha. So I remember interviewing, I think it was Tyler at the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast, and he was having built a air compressor, and the air mm-hmm. compressor has so much volume CFM to it that you can't run it for just one tire. you actually have to run it on all four tires simultaneously. Otherwise, it'll burn up. And I remember because it was the same type of deal. He was having this stuff built and he was selling it. It's a good product. We've got a couple of Jeep Talk Show team members and listeners that have purchased it. But he had some problems with it initially because they weren't building it to the specifications he gave them. And then he had to, you know, go back and forth with them and so on and so forth. So have you had any issues with, I mean, it's only been a month, so maybe not. But have you had any issues with the quality of the product not being what you like? And you had to basically say, hey, guys, you're not doing what we agreed to.
No, they've been good so far. They're actually really nice. And the people that I interact with, they're nice young ladies, right? So everybody's very, very cordial during.
That's good because they're interested in your business then, which is always a good feeling.
And then soft shackles are not a new technology. Right. It's a rope manufacturer, and really the only specs would be the diameter and the length of that piece.
Did you get to specify the strength that you wanted, or did they give you the specs on the size of the shackle, the half inch and stuff?
Well, I just went with kind of that. I wanted it to be competitive, but you quickly gain pricing per unit with an increased diameter, and really so price goes up, and it's within. It's within the same application range, I would argue. And if you go too large, those shackles are not going to fit through some of those more standard eye size. So the half inch seems to work well. I didn't want to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
The half inch in particular is a popular product. So I just went with the standard half inch, standard size for the time being. That's based on the Amazon research. And then if any of your listeners, if anybody like that, if they would have some suggestions, if they need more or less length, we can adjust that. But wanted to go with a nice standard size.
Oh, yeah. For the first product. That's cool. So you could take custom orders then.
Yeah. It's one of those things. If let's say all of the Jeep Talk Show listeners, hey, there's a poll, a couple thousand people that we need more length. Okay, I just call the manufacturer, get an order of whatever length, and test it out and see. See if people are, if it's more than just this Jeep sampling. But yeah, I mean, the good thing is, particularly with all of my orders being somewhat smaller, I haven't had any quality issues. They've been very standard and they've been very reliable.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine, hopefully, with some of the larger orders to come, that you can work with independent inspectors that go validate all of your packaging is correct before it leaves the
manufacturer. Right.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. And again, this is not one of those past things. You've only been doing this for a month. So Robert, I got to ask, there's people out there, they're going, oh, this is so cool. There's a place to get it made. There's a place to sell it. I don't have to do a lot of the work that I thought I was going to have to do. I mean, you're going to pay for it, but still you don't have to actually do it. Now the idea, you've only been doing this for a month. So, if you don't mind sharing, approximately how many sales have you made?
We're at approximately 25 sales. And that's organically, really, that's, marketing through Amazon itself and starting up my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but has the Facebook page only been up for as long as, you know, the whole month that you've been doing this?
Yes, that's why.
So 25 sales, that's almost a sale a day over a month. Yes. You have to be happy with that. I mean, that's got to take a little bit of the pressure off that maybe this thing will sell. I mean, if you had no sales, then it would be like, oh, crap, what am I going to do with all these
I know.
These new horseshoes. I'm going to market these things as horseshoes. And throw them, for horseshoe games.
Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. No. You know, by the way, there are many uses here. You know, you got a little hammock. You could put that around a
tree. That's true. Yeah, it will even hold fat chicks.
There you go. By the way, if you're going to search shackle, only search soft shackle if you're into this product. If you do not include the soft, a shackle only search term on Amazon gets very weird very quickly.
Yeah.
And I would.
Yeah. I never search for training fluid now. Transmission. Spell out the whole word.
Yes, please.
my daughters just got mad at me.
I am proud, it's weird to go from within a year from concept to a bunch of reading to, we're selling a product at a modest pace, but.
Well, that's where you have to start. But I mean, having sales is so important, and it just gives you the confidence that you made a good decision. So anyway, we were talking about additional products that you had in mind. And I don't recall anything concrete specific. Do you have something in mind? I mean, specific or just ideas? I mean, it's all right just to have ideas. It's only been a month.
it's ideas. And, I know it's kind of a classic. It's shackle plus a ring kit, something like that. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. Maybe you would have some feedback as I research more on using kind of the round ring for a synthetic winch rope, but that causes a little much friction on the rope itself. And I don't want to sell something that leads to more problems.
Right.
I like to be in the solution.
Oh, yeah. You definitely want happy customers. Well, let me play some of it for you real quick, and this might give you a clue.
Ooh, okay. Red Jeeps are sexy.
So I'm thinking red shackles is the way you want to go.
Well, there you go. I know you're a fan of red.
I'm a big fan of red.
Nice color. We can figure something out.
Yeah.
It's one of those specialty request colors.
Did you mention rope? Have you looked into having rope or maybe the stretchable rope that go along with this?
The kinetic rope?
Kinetic. Thank
like
you.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess, I'm not opposed to it. That would not be my very next product. Recovery kit, something like that. I also want to make sure that that recovery kit includes what's really in need. And if it's just a couple shackles and a kinetic rope, hey, man, we can do that. One's pretty easy to put together. Mm-hmm. But if there's a larger, more complete kit we could offer, I want to make sure that's what we're doing.
So here's an idea for you. It's probably too close to Valentine's Day now, but for next year, he sees it coming. Yeah. Same thing you have there, but instead of the knot, put another loop. And then put some of that fuzzy stuff around it where it looks all nice and girly. And now you got some shackles that both men and women can enjoy.
That's right. These shackles are for everybody. A special Valentine's Day 2025.
You guys, all right, Robert. Well, you know how the kids love the social media these days. Where can we find you? We mentioned Facebook. It's too long to try to say here, but we'll have it in the show notes for your interview. But you can probably do a search, right? You can just go to Facebook and do a search for Fort Hill Distributors LLC. Would that find it for you? And
yes,
obviously, you can go to Amazon, also do a search. Just do a search for Fort Hill Distributors LLC. And I would probably add Soft Shackle on there because there was a couple of things that came up for me that were Fort Hill Distributors that weren't anything you were selling. So shackles are the only thing they sell. So it'll be you see a soft shackle, then you know you're on the right page. They are $32.99, and they come in pairs. You can get them right now. Are you guys on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, any of that stuff?
We're on Facebook, but currently we're going to be at adding a website and an Instagram soon. But kind of one of those things, bite-sized pieces. Mm-hmm. Want to make sure I focus on launching the the Amazon side first, and then I'm slowly moving out.
Yeah. Well, send us an email when you get that information, and we'll add it to the post for your interview. And that way, when people find it later, because that's kind of the cool thing about shows that are on demand, you will never know when somebody's going to hear this, and it'll be the first time they knew about you or the product, and they'll want to have all the places where they can go to pester the hell out of you.
Sure. And one thing for your listeners, if you use the code DRIVEON1, the number one, that'll save you 15% off those shackles.
Okay, I'm gonna write this down so I can include it in the show notes. So drive on, no spaces, and the number one.
Yeah, all caps.
Okay, drive on one. Good, excellent. Well, Robert, thank you a lot for being with us here tonight, and continued good luck. I mean, I know 25 sales doesn't sound like a lot, but really, the listeners, too, you have to think about this. If you put together all this stuff and you got no sales or two sales, that would be disappointing. But getting almost a sale a day, 365 a year is not what you're shooting for, but still, that's 365 soft shackles. Oh, yeah. Actually, it's double that because there's two of them. To when you buy these, you get two soft shackles.
Sure. And Tony, before we go, I want to make it clear that that a portion of each sale goes to benefit the Tango 3 Foundation, mm-hmm. Which is a WASO based 501(c)(3) nonprofit. They focus on veterans organizations that are doing good work, and they're not necessarily getting funding. So a good friend of mine runs it, and we're officially partnered with them to help local veteran charities do the best good.
That's great. I'm glad you're doing that. I love the military aspect of it, and I love that you're doing things you're not just doing it yourself. I mean, because I could see it was like, well, I'm going to give this a try myself, and then if I can, I'll give, and then it's like, well, maybe I won't. But you're doing it from the start, which is great.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of it's a motivator for me. I've made commitments to people that are trying to do good things, and they need help monetarily. Mm-hmm. So that is one of my motivators. I want to help my friend Jerry run a Tango 3, help other people.
Yeah. So, continuing to serve, not initially for the military, but just for the public, which is wonderful. It's a very nice way of doing things. All right, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you being on here. We'll have to get you on again, especially if you get a new product. I mean, I want to see those furry shackles on here for next year.
All right, I'll get the folks working on it.
We'll get something up. That would be an interesting conversation with those nice young ladies, which I'm sure they've heard worse. All right, have a great night. Thank you.
All right, Tony. Thank you.
Hey, thanks again to Robert of Fort Hill Distributors. Visit them on Facebook. Check out our show notes for episode 898. I got that wrong. Dyslexic. 989. For the link. That's right. Let me say that again. Check out the show notes for episode 989. Boy, I'm looking forward to 999. Anyway, you can check out the link, see the link there, and you actually click it from the website, and it'll make it a lot easier to get there. You know, another easy way you can find them is go to Amazon and just search for Fort Hill Distributors, and you find those soft shackles that they are selling. All right, I mentioned EGS at the top of the show, and it is in just a very few weeks. But you need to start making plans now to attend the 4th annual Jeep Talk Show Off-Road Texas event on June the 8th. It's going to be at Hidden Falls Adventure Park again this year. We're looking at alternative places to go, but we feel the most comfortable, the team that is heading this up, they feel most comfortable just doing it at Hidden Falls again this year. But we're looking at alternatives for future Texas events. Hell, it may not even be in Texas. So if you're in the Houston or Katy area, consider joining us on March 10th at the Katy Crossroads Ice House. The words are right there, Tony. Just read them. Katy Crossroads Ice House from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. That's a Sunday, March 10th. Greg from Underground Graphics, Todd from offroading101.com, and Clint from Texas 4-Wheel Drive, which is TX4WD on Facebook, will be there with me. Find out more about Katie Crossroads Ice House by going to katiecrossroadsicehouse.com. Super nice place. Just a beautiful area there in Katy. It's we call it Old Katy. People that live in, I guess, New Katy, where I live, we call it Old Katy. And it's an older town. It's like a small Texas town, but it's close to the big city. All right, and you've heard me talking about this before. Really excited to get this this interview out there for you guys to see on our YouTube channel, and also to hear on all the audio only places that you can listen to the show. But coming up next week, Stacy David of StacyDavid.com and Gears. You remember him from Trucks. You remember him from Gears. I didn't know Gears was still going on until after I talked to Stacy. It's online. It's on the YouTube. So now I can watch Gears again. Stacy has always has very interesting things that he's working on. And it's just, you know, if you're a gearhead, you just enjoy and you don't want to break a nail. This is what you do. You go watch Stacy David do all the hard work. Hey, that's a wrap for today's episode of the Jeep Talk Show. I want to give a big thank you to our special guests for joining us today and sharing their knowledge and experience with the Jeep community. We love hearing from you, our listener. Reach out to us via email, phone, or social media. We use your voicemails on the show. Until next time, keep on jeeping, and we'll see you on the trails. Don't forget, Fridays are red. Remember, everyone deployed.
Broadcasting since 2010.